Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. The life and times of Enoch, who lived for God, pleased God, walked with God, spoke for God. And he didn't have what we have. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have any part of a Bible yet. And yet he had a desire to please God and to know God. And God gave him the grace and all the grace that he needed to walk with him. And so he lives his life as though his eyes are continually upon the Lord, and that his business was to continually please the Lord and to be governed by the Lord. And he did this without the helps that we have today. No written revelation yet, no Bible promises to claim. Just the desire on his part to walk with God, and God gave him all the grace that he needed to do so. And this tells us that we in this life also can accomplish the same thing in pleasing God, walking with God, if we have the desire. You know, you can do just about whatever you want in life, whatever your desire is. Amen? And so for the Christian, it should be our desire to want to please God. And to please God, we have to acquaint ourselves with His Word and get comfortable with His Word and to know His Word. Read it. Meditate on it. Amen? Memorize parts of it. Make it a part of our life. And that should be our desire. I'd like you to look at Hebrews chapter 12, please, as we think about the life of Enoch. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. The author of Hebrews is probably the Apostle Paul, but we don't know for sure. For whatever reason, the Bible doesn't tell us, but it sounds a lot like Paul. But he doesn't claim it. But it's still God's Word. Amen? Notice chapter 12 starts out, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." You can say amen anytime you like. "He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." That's a good verse to remember when people give you a hard time for your beliefs. Amen? "Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through and 4 speak about our life as a race. Verses 5 through 11 speaks about when the Lord has to discipline His children. And verses 12 through 29 speak about the danger of rejecting God's grace. And it's a word of warning for us not to reject the grace of God in our life. We're going to talk a little bit about the grace of God in our life as far as pleasing the Lord. We're going to look at three areas tonight. Enoch pleased the Lord. He desired to walk with the Lord. And then he was a witness for the Lord. To be an effective witness for the Lord, we have to walk with the Lord. Amen? And we have to please the Lord so that people will give us an audience and take us seriously. But we did read in Genesis that he pleased the Lord. God took him. And it's a wonderful eulogy for any person to be remembered as someone that pleased God. Amen? And it pleased God then. And if he had a relationship with God that was so close, can you imagine how his relationship was with other people? When our relationship with God is what it should be, we're going to have better relationships with people around us. And it doesn't mean we won't have enemies. It doesn't mean that there won't be people that oppose us, perhaps. But I see Enoch as someone that had good relations with people. He was a people person. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5 and 6, the great chapter of faith, the author of Hebrews says, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, but was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And then, of course, we have great verse number 6 that we talk about often, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. And so Enoch pleased God. He wasn't found, which means they sent out a search party for him when he didn't come home. He was missing. And they didn't find him. When we think of pleasing God, our great example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Remember at his baptism, the voice of God came out from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus pleased the Father every hour that he lived on this earth. Amen? As the second Adam, the one who had never sinned, the man who came from heaven and never sinned. And I'd like you to look at Romans chapter 8, please, in verses 7 and 8. Romans chapter 8, please. And Romans 8 and verse 7 and 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot," what? "Please God." Lost people cannot please God, because all they have is the flesh, the carnal nature they're born with. That's why they must be born again. You know, there are lost people that are good, decent people, that have character. They're not all, you know, as we say, lost and undone, wicked, terrible, God-defying. There are some people who go to church and are lost. There's some people that are nice and are lost. There's some people that have good character, raise their children the best way they know how, but they're still lost. And so the carnal mind is at enmity against God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Christian is a unique person. We have two natures. We have the old nature of the flesh that we've been born with, and we have the new nature, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? And there's that tug of war that goes on in the Christian's heart and mind, right against wrong. The flesh wants its way and the spirit wants its way. Amen? And so we're to deny the flesh and we're to feed the spirit. And but in any event, it's possible to do things in the flesh even as a Christian. You can go to church in the flesh. You can witness in the flesh. You can teach a Sunday school class in the flesh. You can go visiting in the flesh. But it's not very productive and it's not very much fun. Isn't that right? And so God's work is a spiritual work, and we certainly need a lot of prayer in our life when we're wanting to speak for him, wanting to serve him in that capacity. But we do have two natures. That old nature is still the same. It never changes. In Tennessee, I saw this big sign in front of a church building that says, "If you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile." How true it is. But a lost person is always in the flesh. And we need to remember that our new nature needs and wants and desires to have control of our life. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. Amen? And he is a person. Thank God. And a person has feelings. Amen? Amen? You're a person. You have feelings. How do you feel? Like, what do you feel like when you're slighted? Hurts, doesn't it? What do you feel like when you're ignored? Doesn't feel very good, does it? Well, the Holy Spirit is the same way. He has feelings. And of course, we know that Jesus said in the great chapter of John, chapter 3, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, that religious leader, you must be born again." This morning I had a very unusual experience, one I've never had before. It was between Sunday school and church, and I was walking back to the office And there's a little old lady sitting on the steps of the parsonage, right on the wall, right next to the sign that says, "Prepare to meet your God." And she looked like she needed someone to call 911. She was that winded and out of breath. And she's holding in her hand an offering envelope to her church. And I said, "Can I be of any help to you?" And she said, "Yes, can you walk with me?" I said, "Where are you going?" She says, "I'm going to the church on the corner." I said, "Well, you look like you need a little help." I said, "Would you rather just maybe sit on the back pew here at our church? It's an emergency. You don't look like you're doing very well." She says, "No, I'll make it if you help me. If you'd help, just take my hand." And so I'm thinking, I've never walked someone to the Catholic Church before, hand in hand. I said, "But this is a special occasion. I've got an opportunity to at least talk to her about Jesus for one block." And so I did. We walked hand in hand up Marcellus Drive, and she was winded. I hope she made it home all right. She's in her 90s. And I'm thinking to myself, this little old lady, I wonder if she's saved. I wonder if she's trying to please God by suffering and walking to church with her money. And so I talked to her just about Jesus, how wonderful Jesus is. And as she left at the corner, I walked her across the street. Cars were stopping for us, and we crossed the street right in front of the Catholic Church. And I said, "Dear lady, keep looking to Jesus. He's the one that promised a mansion for those that love him, to those that accept him. And he died for our sins. Amen." And that's all I could think of to say in that short time. And then turned around and come back to church. And I thought, you know, life is interesting. That has never happened to me in all the years I've been on this earth. I've been telling people to stay away from wrong places. So if you're a Catholic tonight, don't be offended. But what are some of the things that please God? I like to suggest a couple things. Look at Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. As we get into the message tonight, pleasing God, Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Amen. Presenting ourselves to God is pleasing to God. Amen? Presenting ourselves. When was the last time that we said, "Lord, I present myself to you today, take control of my mind, my heart, my feet, my tongue, the words and my speech. I just present myself to you today." Romans 12, 1. By the mercies of God. What does that mean, to think about the mercies of God in presenting ourselves before God? How about the mercy of salvation? Isn't that something great to think about? That's a motivation for us to present ourselves before God each day. Think of the mercy of salvation He's given to us. And the mercy of justification, where we are justified in the sight of God, just as though we had never sinned. Isn't that a mercy of God? How about being adopted by God, amen, into the family of God? That is a mercy of God to think about, that would encourage us to present ourselves before Him. Then there's so many other doctrines, the election of God, that God has chosen us in Him before the world began. These are all mercies of God. And if we think about them, it helps us to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. When you stop to think about how God has opened the door to the Gentiles in the church age, that is a great mercy of God. Up until then, the Jewish people were His people, and the Gentiles were foreign to God. But in the church age, He has opened up the doors to us. And that is a wonderful mercy of God. We are now His chosen people. And so all of these things encourage us to present ourselves before God. And so presenting ourselves before God pleases God. It pleases God when we present ourselves before God and say, Lord, take control of me today, and remind me when I get when I stray. Remind me when I get off track. Another thing that pleases God is not only presenting ourselves before God, secondly, is helping others pleases God. Helping others pleases God. Hebrews chapter 13, please, and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. Someone said, be nice to everyone because everyone's having a hard time. Be nice to everyone. Hebrews 13, verse number 16. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Amen? Don't forget to do good. Don't be absent-minded when it comes time to doing good. It's amazing how so many Baptists get absent-minded when offering time comes. It's so easy to forget. Oh, I left my offering envelope home. Or I wonder, I've had people say after church, Pastor, do you take a check? We take everything. Amen? Even bad checks. I mean, if you write a bad check, you're the one that pays for it. But don't forget. The Bible tells us to communicate good to others. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 16. And helping others is what life makes life worth living. Amen?
Amen?
Helping others. It's the selfish life where people live in fear. It's the selfish life where people live behind their own barriers. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 13. The writer says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Amen. And so we're not to be forgetful when it comes to helping others. And be generous. Don't be careless about forgetting to help others. Don't tell people to go away and God bless you. And tomorrow, maybe I'll help you. Amen? Amen? And so we should not omit this duty because in helping others, according to the Bible, it pleases God. And so to communicate means to be generous, to be a generous person. And so this is well-pleasing to God. And it's important to help others, whether you're at home. I mean, in the home circle, there's plenty of need there to help one another. Amen. Brothers and sisters and moms and dads. Everybody should pull their weight. Everybody should clean up after themselves. Everybody ought to do their chores. Amen, Mom?
Amen.
Everybody should help out wherever possible, whether it's doing the laundry or taking out the garbage. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Not one person should be stuck with all the rotten, dirty chores. Help one another out. I mean, God didn't want us to live in a pigsty, amen?
Amen.
He gave us a home to live in. And we should value the things that He gives us. And you don't have to have a lot of money to be clean, amen? Bar soap is still, I think, a quarter. Organization. God is a God of order. Devil is the author of confusion. I hate confusion. Sometimes I get confused and I hate it. But God is a God of order. And He does everything on purpose. And we ought to do things on purpose. We have a generation of young people today. What are you doing with your life? Well, I'm trying to find myself. It's called loafing. Have a goal. Be going somewhere. Don't just be drifting along aimlessly. But it's important to help others, whether at home or at work or at church, helping one another out. makes life happy. And we need one another. Church work, we need help, always need help. The laborers are always few. We always need people to volunteer and step up to the plate. We can use some extra drivers right now. We can use some more Sunday school teachers. And if you're interested, you know, see me before I see you. Amen? But in any event, helping others pleases God. Not being conformed to this world pleases God. As we read about in Romans chapter 12, Paul is saying, don't let the world tell you what is acceptable. Amen. We're living in a time when good is spoken of as evil, and evil is spoken of as being good. We're living in a time where evil is presented before us and paraded in front of us as being acceptable, and we ought to not say anything bad about it. Sorry. Sorry about that one. Amen. Oh, we're living in a day when the gay movement has not only come out of the closet, but they're parading their lifestyle in front of us. People in high places are saying it's all right, it's good, it's okay. But you know, the Church of Jesus Christ still stands its ground.
Amen.
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 What does the Church of Jesus Christ say? I'm thinking of that commercial. What's that commercial with that little lizard? The Geico, right? You see the one where he's walking in New York City, right? And he's talking about insurance. He says, you want to insure your motorcycle? No problem. You want to insure your boat? No problem. Insure your car? No problem. You want a place to park these things? Forget about it. And that should be our response to when wickedness comes out and says, it's all right to live this way. We just say, forget about it. you're talking to a deaf person here. Amen? But in any event, I was reading in the newspaper just this week that the new dictionaries that are being printed this year are now going to include all the offensive swear words that we try to keep our children from ever hearing. And not only are they going to be listed, they're going to be defined. And a certain group of people, I'm not going to mention political parties, but they're all for it. Free speech. Another good reason to send your kids to a Christian school, amen? Because some liberal teacher is going to make them write those definitions out. And they're going to be tested on them. You wait and see. Or homeschooling. Amen. Three cheers for homeschooling if you have the nerve to do it. And education and the stick-to-itiveness to do it. But in any event, not being conformed to this world pleases God. And the generosity pleases God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, please. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. For I have all in abound, Paul said. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from me, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Paul is saying, thank you for your gift. Thank you for helping me in my time of need. It helped me, and God is pleased with your generosity. Amen?
Amen.
And so being generous pleases God. Never have to worry about being too generous. God is pleased when we are generous. Paul was a preacher, a missionary, one that started churches. He needed help at this particular time. And because the people were generous, it helped him to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. And so generosity pleases God. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit and how that letting our light shine before men pleases God. Love, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. It pleases God when we allow that to show in our life and not hide our life like a candle, amen, under a bed. So don't be afraid to show your love to people. Don't be afraid to be kind. Even though many are cynical in the world, let your light shine before men. And they'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. Young people, Colossians chapter 3, please. You want to know what pleases God? Teenager? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Let me know when you found it. You find it? All right, underline it. Children, obey. Read it with me, parents. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Amen? It is well-pleasing to obey your parents. Obey them, and that will help you to please the Lord. Enoch pleased the Lord. Enoch walked with the Lord. We mentioned in Genesis chapter 5. You know, walking is great exercise. Amen? Maybe you're saying, I wish I was younger, and I wish I could exercise like I used to when I was younger. Well, you know, a good place to start is just walking. Amen? Amen. Walking is progress. And walking with the Lord is companionship. And walking with God is a privilege. Enoch walked with God. He wanted to please God. He walked with God. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It shows a childlike spirit. I love to be around my grandchildren. I really do. And every once in a while, they'll just follow me around. Where are you going, Papa? And whatever I'm doing in the house, they just follow me around like ticks on a dog. Amen? Where are you going? Can I go with you? Can I be with you? What are you doing? What's that? The other day, Abigail follows me into my office and at home. And she sees me looking at something. I'm reading something. And she just pulls out a book. And she says, Papa, this is the one I really like. And I looked at the title of it. And I don't think so, honey. I don't think that's the one you want to see. And so I had a puzzle of an Easter bunny. And she was so excited that she could work on that. And she did it about 3 times. All by herself. But it's a childlike spirit. I want to be with you. You know, God's people ought to have that childlike spirit about our Heavenly Father. Lord, I want to hang out with you. I want to be with you. Be with me today. Help me to be aware of your being with me. Amen? Walk with me today. And when I stray, when my thoughts stray, help me to remember that I want to walk with you. I want to please you. And last of all, speaking for God. Enoch spoke for God. Look at Jude verses 14 through 19, please. Jude in the New Testament, we get a little insight that Enoch was a preacher, someone that witnessed. Not only did he please God, not only did he walk with God, but that enabled him to speak for God. Notice verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He preached on the second coming of the Lord, amen? To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly. I mean, he just flat. Can you see him just raising his voice? Amen? I can see it. Ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Enoch was a preacher, and he could preach because he pleased God, and he could preach because he walked with God, and God used him as a spokesperson. He used him as a mouthpiece, and he witnessed to his generation, and he was faithful. And God used him in a mighty way. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, Proverbs chapter 4, we're almost done. Just hang in there with me. Commercial break is coming. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. I'm glad that God will give us wisdom if we ask Him for it. Amen? And God will give us power if we ask Him for it. Wisdom and power is what we need whenever we speak to anyone for God. We need God's wisdom to talk to different people. Amen? Because everyone's different. And they know if you're giving them a canned speech, if you really care about them or not. Amen? And so we need wisdom when we're talking to people for God, and we need power. And thank God they're both available to us through prayer to witness effectively. We need both of those things. The end of Enoch, well, he left this life leaving a good testimony. He left this life with his stamp. He made his mark on his generation. And we know about him that he pleased God. And that's a wonderful way to be remembered. Amen? And also that he walked with God. He was a friend of God. And he joined a long list of others in the Bible that tell us they were friends of God as well. And that's a wonderful testimony to have. To please God, to walk with God, and to speak for God. And may that be our desire tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the life of Enoch, the testimony he had. I pray that you'd help each of us tonight to want to please you. And we've looked at a few ways that we can please you. Help us to take them as practical things that we can do. And then the desire to walk with you throughout the day and to speak to others for you. Thank you, Lord, for the services this morning and all that was accomplished. Thank you for the visitors that you keep sending our way and the people that we're able to contact. We pray that you dismiss us now with your blessing, and also that you would bless the time of fellowship that follows. We pray for Paula that as she leaves here and goes on to college, that you would open up new doors for her, and that she'd make new friends. Lord, that you would encourage her in her future. And we just thank you for a nice place like the New England College there in Connecticut. Bless their school year and bless all of our children as they go off and start a new school year. We commit the remainder of this evening in prayer, and we thank you so much for your love for us. And for all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you downstairs.